Maybe I better look it up here. Ooh, I should get my glasses now.
Oh, it's a... Huh. I think I got some more somewhere. I think
wasn't back to the landslide though. Wasn't there a house that was?
I think it was a house that was.
Was it Dakota's or was it?
I don't remember too much about it. I just
Sterling,
I think, would tell you a lot more about it.
Okay.
Probably I got some. I think another.
Her number is
476
5530.
Great.
If you go up toward Graniteville, just as you go into Graniteville, you turn that left out there about half mile or so.
Oh, that's great. And you say she has
she may have some of his mother's old pictures.
That'd be neat. I gather that when they had that landslide, it really became a tourist attraction.
Must have. I didn't know anything about it,
What was that?
The slide.
But it became a tourist attraction, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, here's an old one. You may have seen it.
Ooh.
My mother wrote and pretty near ruined some of these. This is that Jack Smales I told you about.
Uh-huh.
And this is my father. My mother wrote it down. Oh, they're picking up corn. My mother wrote, Sterling knows who else. He may have a picture.
And you're cutting
you're getting corn in or something.
Wow. Now that's Sterling. Is this Sterling?
No, my mother wrote Sterling to know who the rest of them were.
Now Sterling's what? 10 years older than you? Or?
Just about 9, 10. But he was around here all the time until he went into service. And this was taken down the schoolhouse down here. You know where the old schoolhouse is.
Uh-huh.
But just past that is a cellar hole. And that's where I was born, and this is the house.
Oh, I'll be darned.
And this is my Uncle John, I was mentioned of.
Uh-huh.
And that was my father. Of course, my mother wrote down. And I think this is my grandmother. And this is Sterling's older brother, Melvin.
The one that was Livingston. So strong?
Yeah, and this is my Uncle Rob's wife. Rob mm-hmm. lives his wife, Mame. And... I think one of the others was be a great aunt of mine, and I don't know who the other one is.
Gosh, that's nice though.
Well, let's see, maybe.
Oh,
Miss Jack Smales, one of them. Rosa Baird, the Andrews aunt. That'd be right there.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was let me see the other ones. Mrs. Jack Smale. It must be before she died. Right there.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, that's a great one.
I haven't got many of them. Oh yeah, here's one of them. It's down in the school there. Another one of those.
Oh
yeah.
And
that's down the schoolhouse down here in the corner.
Where your son's house is
now. Yeah.
Yeah. He left a...
He's got a stone step sitting up on end. He used as a marker for the school used to be.
Tried to leave the foundation and stuff, but didn't. Well, this is some of the tax things that and receipt book that Jack Denny had. Well,
this is the same one I see.
Yeah, there's a couple of them the same. Well, there might be some on the back here.
Sam Maxwell and wife.
That'd be probably my grandmother's brother. On Max's side.
Arthur looks the same.
Well, no, Arthur's.
Is this a Morgan?
Part Morgan. Most of them were. This one is part Morgan. I did have some picture of him where he'd speak to him, he'd stand right up on his hind legs in the shadows.
Is that right?
And he was 29 years old before they put him away. And they did that because he got kicked by a bigger horse and he's getting rheumatism. My uncle Rob kept him for years after my father's on the farm. They always used him for driving horse. And the boys used to take him down, drive him down to school down here. Up on the and the horse would be used to back and then half hour or so after the boys got to school. And got where I got later and later. They used to put check rein up so he couldn't feed on the way home. So he kept, lots of times he got there just before the boys did. So one day, I guess my uncle was going off the hill. Look, there the horse, he go long and went to ditch and pushed down and feed. He'd pick his bank where he could feed, get up, never hurt a buggy or anything, and go on to do it a little further. And that's how he was doing it.
Get home?
Yeah. And anything he hated was letting another horse by, and they didn't many horses get by. And if you didn't have him reined in when another horse tried to go by, you might just well forget it, so you take a bit in his teeth and take off. And I know what they had they used to have a little fairground up there behind our Hap Gaylord's thing. You heard about that probably.
No.
We turned in somewhere near where you go to the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And it went uphill there, and there's a flat there, and it was a small fairground.
Oh, no kidding.
And they used to have a small track, and that used to start early, right about the 4th of July, in order to get, because it's such a small fair, in order to get the horse racing and stuff. They started out training the horses for early in the season. They had that, and had three or four halls, and it was a nice little fair. I remember a student said he's driving a horse there one time. Got down there where I don't know what they call the place now, they're just fixing it all over, putting it across the state shed.
Mm-hmm.
At that white house there, they're fixing over. And my father's cousin lived there, Maxwell's. And Sterling's going along there, and the car started to go by. And that horse took off, Sterling driving it, and got up, going to fairgrounds. And one of the folks would say, so where'd you get that colt? And Stone says, it isn't Colt. The fellow says, it isn't O'Hare. Stone says, he is. Well, he says, he must be close to 30 years old. Stone says, he is. But he didn't want you fellows going by.
Yeah. Who trained him? My
father had him then when he got out of farming and that. He left a monk or a rob for his keeping. And they drove him, used him for driving horse for years. And when Uncle Rob was up there on the hill, I remember him telling him that he got up one morning, it was just him and my name, and two of the boys stayed home to do the chores. They sat down at dinner at noon, there was 24 of them there. And you didn't have to make an appointment ahead, you just dropped in.
Gosh.
I know when folks used to, and they used to drop in on folks, and they're more clannish in our day. Today you don't know your first cousin, a lot of them.
My great-grandmother lived to be 99, so...
Oh, boy.
You know, we count our cousins often to third cousins, just because we grew up together and were close.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We aren't that way anymore.
Always a big family get-together, and everybody knew everyone. Of course, same around town. You don't know your next-door neighbor now, hardly. Lots of times you don't.
Nope.
It's entirely different thing. There's no, you can't say you have any neighbors really anymore. And I can go out and go somewhere, and I can go in a place in 5 minutes, I know whether they're all natives or not. It's entirely different. The mixture is a little harder to tell, but a native, you could tell it's entirely different. It's a different atmosphere and everything. And when last night, if we ever get a day off or anything, we get right out of the valley. There's a few pockets of native Vermonters around, and that's where we head for.
Yeah, I think in the interviewing I've been doing, I've probably talked with most of them, and they all feel that way.
I went up a few years ago, went up to a place, and my boy's going to Johnson College. That's where we went to service, and we was going to meet him in some way. We got crossed. He was coming down here, or I was going up there. It's going to be Parents' Day or something. And so we missed him. So we decided we'd just take a drive that day, and my wife stopped in the store. And she's a diabetic, and she was having a little trouble then, about that time. So I sat in the car, and I waited, and I waited, and I kept watching. I couldn't see her. I kept on. Finally, I decided I had to go in. I must have been having trouble. About that time, she went out of the store. It's just a, well, I'm all right, said something. She was going to get something, so we'd have something for lunch, because there wasn't many restaurants open on the weekend up that way. And so she came out, she said, I got in there, she said, I got talking to the girl at the checkout counter and the manager and that, and she said, so good to talk to somebody, a native. She said, I couldn't leave. I don't know how long she was in there, but five times as long as it's necessary.
Well, that's the other thing. The old general store was a real part of the community in the old days.
Yeah, they used to have their suppers and stuff, and now we don't have any of them, or not around here, because they're all out of state. It's just an entirely different thing.
The humor in the general store used to be, I mean, there was a lot of joking and...
Oh, no, you joke and they take it serious. And if you don't agree with them on something, they think you're mad at them. You know, I've had them, I wouldn't agree with them on something. And boy, they're insulted. And used to be, we didn't. I told somebody one time, I said, well, he asked me, we weren't friends afterwards. I said, sure. I said, just that I don't agree with it isn't any sign that I don't like it. He's a nice enough fellow. He's out of state, but a nice fellow. I said, I don't always agree with my wife. But I said, that isn't any sign we're enemies. But they do, they expect you to agree with everything.
I heard recently one of the things in the general store was switching eggs. Bantam eggs, you know, the Warren used to bring in big buff Orpington eggs, and they'd switch the Bantam eggs when somebody was buying. And another one I heard was, this supposedly happened in Ripton. A guy came in and took a pound of butter, I guess. And the guy didn't say anything but saw him take it. So we lured him over to the stove. And like your engagement in that store up in Johnson, he started talking. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon the butter.
Well, I worked for a fellow, Hap Gaylord's wife's father. I was there when he died. He had a burst appendix. And had to sit Mount Berry, Dr. Shaw took him out. And they had to send to Boston for something to peritonitis it in, for the drug to get it. And they had to ship it up a train. And that was in early 39, I think it was. And by the time we got up here, it's too late, and he died from peritonitis. But I didn't have an airport in those days, you know. And well, I had one out there, a month earlier, but they didn't use it for that much. But they sent up a train, it took an extra day, and it's long enough. And he was only, I think, 36 years old. But he told me about a fellow at Sugar one time. He used to keep a syrup up at Sugar House. But he went up one day and just missed it. So he didn't tell anybody. He didn't tell his wife. It went on 6-7 years, and this bunch of them talking in the general store, and one fellow packed up and say, he says, did you ever find who stole your shirt? He says, no, he says, I never knew to just now. And the fellow's last name was Thompson, and then to the day he died, he was known to Sugar Thompson.
There was another similar story to that about a cheese, and that was in the Long store, I guess, in Warren, and some guy stole a whole cheese, and again, he never told anybody. And one day they were sitting out in the porch, and this guy said, hey, did you ever find out who stole your cheese? And the guy said, yeah, I just did.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they had, some of them had their way of taking care of things in those days. And now this, I'm pretty sure, is true, because I had read something about it way back when I was young. And the fellow told me about that. He told me who the thing was. And it's not, it's around the state here. And I named the town that, but I won't, because most of, all of them, I guess, involved in it all is gone. But anyway, this fellow had, was quite a large farm and stuff, several of them. And about once a month, he'd go off a couple of days, attend other business, and, you know, like Montpelier or somewhere. And he came back, and his wife was pretty upset. She had, the neighbor had come down and been harassing her. And finally, she was breaking in tears. So, this fellow went up, and of course, small town, the hired man, and that everybody knew what was going on, more or less. So he went up and he told the fellow, he says, if you can't come down and visit, he says, if I'm there, he says, when I'm gone, he says, you stay away from my place and my wife. He says, this is the first and last time I'm telling you. Well, it went on 2-3 months, and he was gone again. Come back, his wife really upset. She said she had quite a time fighting this fellow off, and she really upset about it. Well, the fellow didn't say anything. But a couple weeks later, found the neighbor dead in his barnyard. He'd been shot with a rifle, but there's no rifle around. And those days, the select men used to hold the coroner's meeting on it. So they gathered around, and they checked everything out and come up with a verdict, suicide. And they said that really happened, and I know who the names were and stuff, and I remember hearing about it when I was younger, because that was back for a number of years. But then, like the fellow said, he said, first last time, he says, I told you, I think if you look more of that day, there would be all this stuff in the paper. He says, the first last time, he says, I'm telling you, and it was the first last time.
Well, it was a code.
Yeah,
and the fellow that was bothering his wife had broken the code.
Well, just a few years ago, a fellow got shot that way. And I forget what, the fellow got off for little nothing for sentence. And his brother-in-law, the brother-in-law that the fellow was shot, let's see, I think he was a cousin of mine or something. And they're not around here now. He said the fellow, he says he was asking for it. He was, you know, mm-hmm. same kind, same way. And he shot the same way.
Well, there was that story of, I guess it was George Greenslitz who shot the guy for stealing wood. And I think he got off.
Yeah, well, they let him off for anything now. I mean, if, well, same to the government. If a fellow embezzles a few $1,000, they put him up for 5-10 years. But you get officials down in Washington, savings, loans, steal millions, and that, and they come out, they didn't have prosecutors enough, they couldn't prosecute them. So they didn't even bring that up.
Well, this was a case where the guy had been stealing wood, and he, I guess he'd been warned.
Well, I knew a fellow. He was a cousin of this Pat McQueen down, died a few years ago, and he come from up Johnson way. He told him that this fellow had a woodshed full of wood. And he started losing his dry wood. So he didn't know how it disappeared, because he mixed it. So he watched one night, and the neighbor down below him, he see him circling away up front, just getting dark. up around and stayed out of sight. The fellow went up, walked up the dry wood pile, and loaded it up out of the woodshed. Arm load, went down, kept down around. He did this all step right and loaded a load of greenwood. The fellow walked into his house and dropped the load in the dry wood in the wood box. This fellow, other fellow stepped up, dropped his in the wood box too. He says, next time, he says, you mix it, you stole so.
<That's
great>. So he says, mix it like I do, you so-and-so.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, well, and that code is gone, and the humor.
Yeah, seems... and I was telling Hester the other day, I said the accent's gone. I said, in a way, I kind of miss it. All the old time, I said, now it's just a common thing. I said, even the names, I said, you used to be able to, I'm not a very good speller or writer, but I said, you could at least, get them. Now most all of them are gone.
That's true.
Some of them I can't pronounce, and I wouldn't even think of trying to write. But not what there's some of them nice people now, but there's a...
No, you're right about the accent too, and you could actually, by listening, tell where somebody, whether they were over toward the eastern part of the state or more toward Lake Champlain. Certainly, the ones in the White River Valley and so mm-hmm. forth are much closer to sort of the New Hampshire accent.
Well, I've always, next to Vermont, I always liked New Hampshire because it's much light. New Hampshire got invaded gradually so they could, more or less absorb these out-of-state invaders. But we got an out-and-out invasion. And the state couldn't cope with it. We've got to... There's just too many of them, and they've got in all the ruling part of the state, the towns and cities and the state itself.
When would you say the invasion here started?
It wasn't bad to up about the 60s, about time that up through the 50s it wasn't bad, but when you got into the 60s it started and kept increased up into through the 70s. I think now it's leveling off. There's the population isn't increasing. In fact, I believe it's going to level off, and they talk about more schools and more of this and more of that. And if they wait a few years, they won't need it. They're talking about middle school here now, and I think it's they're out of their minds. Because they're going to have all that expense of another school, more teachers, and to maintain it, it's better to, if they're going to do it, add on a little. See, they had, even some of the other stairs didn't go for that in Facing here, like it's going to have a Taj Mahal, as said. And I wasn't either. I mean, that when I got one there, that school would be just a white elephant. It'd never go for anything, that's why they came. And the scare is getting bigger, but it's leveling off. And the last number of years, I remember when on a good weekend of skiing, cars would be backed up on a Saturday night, clear up to Millbrook Lodge, waiting for the ones coming down Sugar Bush on Route 100. That's all gone. You can go down, I haven't seen it backed up. Hardly past that little sawmill down there for a number of years now, even when the skiing was good.
And was the influx mostly skiers, or was it the back to landers, or in the 60s? What?
Mostly those that were skiing and that, and those that come up the towns, they didn't want any industry or anything. It's all for recreation stuff. All those that come up and down country, all they wanted is skiing. They didn't want any industry at all. They had a town meeting there when they tried to get zoning, and they was talking about industry and all that. I told them, I said, maybe it's light industry, something like a shop or something. I said, you're not going to have any heavy industry. I said, the town hasn't got the valley. I said, it doesn't have a railroad. It doesn't have a truck terminal. I said, none of that. I said, so you wouldn't have it if you didn't put all this zoning stuff in. Now they got zoning in, and they want to tell you how to put your house, and if you park a car out in the yard or something like that.
Yep.
I had some cars years ago. I had a farm truck, and I guess there's five or six other cars out here where I could see them. And my kids each had a car or something. And they were registered and insured and stuff like that. So in all, I must have went over a helicopter and took pictures of it. I had some down the back where you couldn't even see them. So I thought, well, when I retire, I'll spend my time restoring some of them. Of course, all they did is sit there and get rusted out more. And I usually run a car to it rusts so you don't pass inspection, then I get another one. And I usually go for it. I never yet bought a new car, and I probably never will. I said I wouldn't have been a multimillionaire take for his depreciation on it. So anyway, first thing I know, I just got out of the hospital from an operation. And I had what's called a hog house over there, a single story thing. And I started raising pigs. I was going to give it on that, you know. I made $1 in the spring, lost $2 in the fall. So I turned into a kind of equipment shed. And I had Laro here and some others come down the dump truck one day from above. And they stopped and asked me if I want to get rid of the junk across the road. I says, no, I says, because I'm using it all. It's an old farm machine. I was trying to get started. So anyway, I went over and my brother had an old car up there, over there. And the snow would come on winter and get the roof cleaned off, and that caved in. So I had that and a few pieces of farm machine around, Harrells and stuff like that. And I had that and another old cab, I think it was. Well, I got what I call a nasty letter from the state. Give me 2 weeks to clean that all out, or they bring me into court. And I took a pretty nasty letter. And I went over and started to move it. I was going to clean that out. And I moved a little bit because it's a ditch through there, and I had water drain down through it. Now they call it wetlands because they moved the thing over.
They did.
And didn't put the ditch back through. When my father was a boy, he said he used to get 8-inch trail out of there. The brook comes out, one of them comes out, but the hideaway starts up my spring. Anyway, I'm going to get it from somebody and tell them I want the ditch back down through. I don't know if they'll do it or not, but that's what they did lower the road here.
And they used to get trout out?
My father got trout right across the road.
It's amazing.
He said when he was a boy. Of course, when I come up here, Hess and I come up here, those trees across the road are only about 8-10 foot high, and I could look up what's called the old Dark Newland place, not Dark Newland place, but the old, what was the name?
I don't remember what it was.
I'll think of it.
When did you stop farming here?
Huh? When I had to, when I couldn't send my milk in hands anymore. It was going to cost me more to put a bulk tank in than I paid for the whole farm.
Well, I mean, bulk tanks cost what, about $5,000 or some incredible amount of money.
Well, I got 140 acres. What was it, 1,800? Including the buildings here and over there. Average about $10 an acre, counting in the buildings. I had 140 acres.
That's what you paid for.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, well, that's the other thing that's happened is that the land has gone sky high and taxes.
Yeah. And everything else, inflation gone sky high. I remember back during the Depression, you go in a store of $5 and you couldn't lug your groceries out. Now you go in 100. You haven't got much show for it.
Yeah.
I worked for 50 cents a day when I was in high school. And that's all I worked for. I worked there about a year. I'd go every holiday and weekend, every Saturday. I worked, and after about a year or so, I asked about the, told them I thought I'd have a raise, I'd get 70 cents. So of course, they was paying if you board yourself.